Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Okay, my friends, we're going to learn the 19th shir of Sefer HaMitzvos, which corresponds to the third set of prakim that we learn, the chapters 7, 8, 9 of Hilchas Tshuva. So we divided the actual text of Mitzvah Ayin Gimel, the 73rd positive mitzvah, into three. I'm going to conclude it now and share with you some of the more salient details about the performance and the fulfillment of this mitzvah. To briefly recap, yesterday we followed the Rambam's logic in seeing how this mitzvah is applicable in every circumstance, whether you violated a positive mitzvah, whether it was a negative mitzvah. In every set of circumstances, a Jew has to do tshuva, and we demonstrated how it's not specifically related to a korban, to a sacrifice. In fact, even when there is no sacrifice possible to be brought, the mitzvah of tshuva still has to be performed. The Rambam now concludes with a final supposition. Minayin af begalus. How do we know that this mitzvah is applicable even when we are in a state of exile? And it is important to point out that being in a state of exile is not only a geographic question. You can live in Eretz Yisrael and still be in Galut. In fact, we are living in Eretz Yisrael and we are in Galut. And the most ardent Zionist will stand in Yerushalayim and he says the three times a day, Uvnei Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, that Yerushalayim should be rebuilt. You know that Yerushalayim is many times the size it ever was in history. Never in history was Jerusalem such a big and well-developed city. So what's Uvnei Yerushalayim? We surpassed ancient Jerusalem long ago. And a Jew will stand at the Kotel. He's right there, right at the site. And he says, Tzemach David Avdecha Meheiras Atzmiach. That Tzemach David, which are two euphemisms that are used to describe Mashiach, should quickly sprout. And we talk about this idea of Goel Yisrael, that God should redeem the Jewish people. Because Galut is not only a question of where you live. In its root source, galut means spiritual displacement. It so happens that a symptom of spiritual displacement is also to be physically displaced. It is natural and normal for galut to mean that we are not able to live in Eretz Yisrael, that we are not able to be where we rightfully belong. But even in today's day and age, unfortunately, we feel the galut very strongly in Eretz Yisrael. Can you imagine the Israeli government? Well, let's reverse this. Can you imagine the Israeli government telling Canada how it should treat the aboriginals? The Canadian government who really stole the land of people, who really were here before the white men came from Europe. Could you imagine that? Can you imagine the Israeli government, the Israeli ambassador visiting with the prime minister and saying, I don't think you should be developing Ottawa this way. It's not appropriate. Here's where you should build, here's where you shouldn't build. Or the Israeli government calling and saying, you know, the UN ruled that your funding for Catholic schools, but no other faith-based schools, is actually an act of racism, and it's an act of discrimination. So therefore, we demand. Nobody in his right mind would ever suggest that. But it's perfectly normal for foreign governments, and Baruch Hashem, our government in Canada is not like this today, these days, to demand of Israel, tell Israel where they can build in their capital. It's perfectly normal. And it's perfectly normal, unfortunately, that a Jew knows that in a certain part of Yerushalayim, if he walks, he risks his life. There's nowhere in Toronto, Baruch Hashem, I'm afraid to go. I think that going there means taking my life into my own hands. And there's many places in Yerushalayim, Eretz Kodesh. So for anybody to say we're not in Galut, think again. Furthermore, Galut does not only mean even if everything were perfect in Eretz Yisrael, and who knows if it ever will be till Mashiach will come. Galut means that we're not able to function the way a Jew is supposed to function. All of the mitzvot that God gave us are mechanisms through which we become close to God. We nurture our relationship with God through all the mitzvahs. So imagine if somebody is not functioning at his normal acuity. He's missing his hands, God forbid. He's missing his feet. He cannot speak clearly. He can't even think clearly because he's in pain. But he's functioning. He's functioning. You call that a life? After 50 years, this guy probably gets used to it. Nebuch, he doesn't have hands, he doesn't have feet. And eventually, yeah, this is his life. And maybe he's a good guy and he makes the most out of life. But it doesn't mean that he's functioning at the normal level of acuity. Normal functioning means you have all your limbs, you have all your faculties, you have all your wherewithal, you have all your gifts, you have all your ability. The meaning of galut means, the meaning is that we are not able to function normally as a Jew. In order for a Jew to foster his relationship with God, he needs 613 mitzvot. And we are fulfilling less than 80 mitzvot these days. So the possibilities for us to nurture our relationship with God are vastly diminished. We're in galut. Tshuva means to return. Tshuva means to come back to my innocence, to my essence, to recultivate, to recapture the majesty of my relationship with God, the glory, the wonderment of my relationship with God. Can I do tshuva today? And I'm going to humbly suggest that's the question of the Rambam. That's the question of the Rambam. It's not just a question of geographically. The Rambam is not saying, well, I know you can do tshuva in Tel Aviv, but can you do tshuva in Toronto? No. The Rambam says, how do you know in Galut? And he says, the answer is because the Torah says, even before the Jewish people came to Eretz Yisrael, v'hitzvadu et avonam v'et avon avotam, they will confess their sins and the sins of their fathers. In other words, there's a continuum. That even in a time when they will not be like their fathers, and even when things will be different than it was for our ancestors, nonetheless, the mitzvot that we are able to do, we will still fulfill, and they will still be meaningful and still be efficacious. And this pasuk is not enough, because it can be construed otherwise. And therefore the Rambam says, V'chein Daniel, the prophet Daniel, from whom we know how Jewish people lived and functioned in a state of galut. V'chein Daniel Omar. Daniel says, when he's in Bavel, when he's in galut, L'cho ad Hashem hatzdaka, to you God is righteousness, V'lanu boshet apanim. This was an act of confession. This was an act of saying, God, you are perfect, we are not. We have made many mistakes. And there are interesting many, many things we learn from Daniel about how a Jew functions in a state of gola, in a state of exile. But this is one of the important things we learn from the fact that Daniel says this. Daniel was doing tshuva, he was performing the mitzvah of vidui dvarim in Bavel, and so it is. Hinein is bar lecha mikol ma she'ezkarnu. The Rambam finishes, it has become abundantly clear to you from everything we mentioned. Shevidui mitzvah b'fnei atzma. That vidui, confession of sin, is an independent mitzvah. V'chove al hachota al eizachet shechota. Regardless of what the sin might be, regardless of what kind of sin, regardless of what kind of punishment, regardless of what kind of mechanism or observance is engendered after one sins, bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. When you're in Israel, or the out of Israel, when you're in a state of exile, or whether you're in a state of redemption. And even if you're in this exilic state of meltdown, and you cannot function fully as a Jew because the realities are the harsh realities dictate otherwise. Nonetheless, bein shehevi karban, bein shelehevi karban, whether you brought a sacrifice, whether you didn't bring a sacrifice, in every instance, as long as you're a Jew who's alive, a Jew that moves, chayev lihisvadot, kama sha'omer yisala, you have to confess your sins, as it says, v'hisvadu eschatos shema asher osu, you as a Jew have an obligation that when you do tshuva, that you articulate the tshuva. It's not enough to do the tshuva in your heart. It's not enough to feel remorse. It's not enough to feel regret. It's not enough to resolve. There must be an actual verbalization. The lashon of the Sifra is, v'hisvadu ze vidui dvarim. And this mitzvah is explained in great detail in the last chapter of what the Rambam refers to as Kippurim. We don't know if the Rambam wrote that in its original Hebrew. The Masechet, we call it today Yoma. Yoma is a Aramaic permutation of the word for number 10, or the day, the 10th day, which is Yom Kippurim. So, in order to properly understand what the Rambam just said, I want to share with you a little snippet of what the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva. First of all, in Perek Hamishi, and then later on in Perek Shvi, in the 5th and 7th chapters. And I want to share it with you specifically because of the thrust of the Rambam. That tshuva is possible in every set of circumstances. Whether these are mitzvot that the Torah describes in one manner or another, whether a Jew finds himself in one place or another, it's always applicable. The notion is that the Torah is eternal and that our ability to foster a relationship with God is something that is continuous and ongoing. And it's impossible to suggest there's a time when the Jewish people cannot reclaim their relationship. They cannot experience the reclamation of their innocence. And not only this cannot be said on a national level, this has to be understood on a personal level too. Nobody can say, well, you know, I can't do tshuva, or I can't live like a Jew. The Rambam says that's a mistake to say that. Rishut l'chal adam netuna, every human being, every person is given permission. Im rotza lahatot atzmo l'derech tova, if he wants to turn himself to a good way, lihiyot tzadik, to be righteous, harishut biyado, it's your choice. There's no such thing as I can't. There's no such thing as if God wanted me to be righteous, He wouldn't give me this desire or that desire. If you want to turn yourself to an evil way, to be wicked, it's in your hands. And therefore the Rambam says, because this is the case, and the Rambam talks about the idea of the sin of eating from the tree of knowledge, he talks about the notion of when evil and good became blurred, and we live in a world today where there is no good without bad and no bad without good. In the pre-sin world, was a perfect world. Everything was very, very clear. That which was good was only good. That which was bad was only bad. But Adam and Chava, when they ate from that tree, everything became confused. And therefore, people have many challenges today. Somebody will say, why did God make it this way? We made it ourselves that way, unfortunately. This is the result of what Adam and Chava did. But we have to deal with it, as Torah tells us to deal with it. Ein misha mi'akav biyado. There is nobody who can stand in your way. Milasot hatov. From doing that which is good, and good means from a Torah perspective, from a Jewish perspective, what God says is good. And there's nothing that can stand in your way from doing what's bad. God will not do that to you. It's a free country, as they say. You can do as you please. Most important ingredient in righteousness, in spirituality, in faith, in religious observance is this notion of freedom of choice. And this is, by the way, totally counter to pop culture and the culture of the and civilization of our time, where we have all these suggestions that people may be born with a certain propensity or a certain desire, and it's difficult for them, and therefore, you can't be right or wrong. How could there be right or wrong? Which intrinsically, this is actually a rejection of the essence of right and wrong, and it's a rejection of a divinely inspired moral code. It becomes instead moral equivalence. And everybody's flavor of the day, what everybody chooses, what I think is good or what I think is bad, and essentially it's an act of pagan idolatry. This is the premise. The Rambam says later in the seventh chapter, today's Rambam, Ho'il v'rshut kol adam netuna lo. Since everybody has permission, as we explained, yishtadil adam lasot tshuva. A person should always make an effort to do tshuva. That's not good enough. Uli hitvadot bepiv. Can't just do the tshuva. Can't just be in the recess of the heart. It cannot just be in a domain of the mind. It has to be something which is articulated mipiv from his mouth, micheta'ov, from his sins, ulinor kapov, to shake off your hands. Clean your hands, says the Rambam. Kidei sheyamut v'hu bal teshuva, so that when you die a bal teshuva. V'yizkeh l'chayei olam haba, and thus you merit the world to come. The Rebbe many times used to say that there's another way to say this. Even though the traditional way of saying maybe you'll die, listen, maybe Mashiach will come. When Mashiach comes, there's no more opportunities. You can't do tshuva after Mashiach comes. Now is the time. Now is the time we can make changes. And therefore, the Rambam says, La'olam yira adam atzmo ki'ilu hu nota lamut. A person has to see himself as if he's maybe going to die. You never know which day is your last. Ushema yamut b'shato. Maybe he'll die. It doesn't mean in his time. It means in that moment. So what would you like to die doing? Eating a non-kosher lunch? Would you like to doing behaving in a way which the Torah dictates as a contravention to God's will, which Torah says is immoral? So a person thinks like this all the time, he's never going to do anything wrong. Nobody ever knows when his moment comes. And chas v'shalom, nimtza omed b'cheto, he'll be stuck in a sin. Lefikach, says the Rambam, yoshuv m'cheto miyad. Do tshuva right away. Return to the path of the Torah, return to the path of Hashem. V'lo yomar, he shouldn't say, listen to this, because you heard this before. Kishazkin ashuv. When I get old, then I'm going to do tshuva. Not now. Now I'm busy. When I get old, who says you're going to get old? This is what King Solomon said, or was conveying when he said the word b'chol et yihya bigadecha levanim. Your clothes should always be white, which is a euphemistic reference to white clothing, the shrouds that a person, Rachman Olitzan, is buried. And therefore, we have this idea that Rambam goes on to say that tshuva is not just from the big, egregious sins. Well, I do some little sins, but the big stuff that Rambam says, don't be so sure, it's not just about the big stuff. And yes, you better sweat the little stuff. Every single detail is relevant, meaningful, and important, and every Jew can, and therefore must do tshuva constantly. That's why our sage says, kol yomav, all of a person's days should be immersed and engaged with tshuva u'ma'asim tovim. I will only finish with the words of the Chinuch. The Chinuch follows a similar path of the Rambam in identifying the various different stages or sins in which a person is suggested that he should perform vidui, and comes with the same conclusion that it's applicable every time, every place, every person, every sin. And then, as the Sefer HaChinuch typically does, he gives you a little bit of insight behind the mitzvah. So why do we have to say it? After all, isn't tshuva, isn't it about a feeling in the heart? Isn't it about a commitment, a sense of regret and resolve? That is tshuva. Why is there a mitzvah to say it? Why do I have? What if I didn't say it? What if I sincerely regret it and I resolved never to do something like that again? So the Chinuch says, Shabahidas ha'oven bepeh, when you acknowledge the sin verbally, titgaleh machshevet achote, then this becomes an expression, an outward expression of the thought of the person who did the sin. Vedato, in his opinion, shehumamin be'emet, that he really believes, ki galui v'yadua lefnei hakel baruch hu, that everything is open before God. God sees everything. So maybe God didn't see. I have to talk about it. Maybe it's not real. Maybe it's make-believe. Maybe it's a cute thing. It's a tradition. It's not real. Well, when you're actually talking, so who are you talking to? I'm talking to God. What do you see? Somebody in front of you? You're having a conversation? When a person actually davens and actually says words, and a person says a vidui, and he confesses, it's real. It's real. He's talking. This is not a joke. And he says that God knows kol maaseyu, everything that he does, v'layase, there's nothing that he, and everything he doesn't do. And there's an eye in Roah, there's an eye that sees everything that happens. Today it shouldn't be hard for us to understand that. Today you know all these tracking devices and cameras, it's very easy for us to imagine such a thing. Gam, in addition, says the Sefer HaChinuch, mitoch hazkorat hachet, when a person remembers sin, befrat in the details. Ubehit nachamo, a love, when he regrets all these things, Yizor mimenu me'od pam acheret. He'll be much more careful than going back down that road a second time because he articulated it, because he said it. So that it shouldn't be a michshol, it shouldn't be a stumbling block in the future. Achashiyomer bepiv, when he says it verbally, he actually says it, chazo uchazo asiti v'niskalti, this is what I did a foolish thing. And when a person does this, mitoch kein yerotz lefnei boro, he'll become desired before his maker, God who is good wants for the good of his creatures. And certainly, he has guided us in this way, and therefore, it's ours for the taking. Doing teshuva and rehabilitating our relationship with God is our opportunity, it's our gift, and it's our special purview that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. We only now have to do it. Maybe it's important to finish with an idea that it says, Ein Yisrael Nigolin Ela B'tshuva. The Jewish people will only be redeemed with tshuva. It's not a little mitzvah. This is the mitzvah that everything hinges on. And if only we'll all do tshuva, we'll only do this mitzvah properly, then it says that the coming of Mashiach will the Mirtz Hashem immediately follow. So that's all for Shir Rambam.